Book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Now, I would like to do the whole chapter this evening, but I know there are so many details and so many phrases and so many doctrines, and it's a long, long way to the end of the chapter. We used to sing, "It's a long way to Tipperary." Well, this is a long way to the end of the chapter, and I've made up my mind if we're not well through before I come to the spot where we should stop, I will stop and we'll take two bites at this cherry. This is something I don't like to do, but I may be forced to do. However, we'll get on with the job just now, and if we get on well, we'll do it tonight. I think you remember this from last week's chapter, chapter 11, verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded." You remember way back in chapter 8 that seven angels were given trumpets to sound. And as each trumpet sounded, terrible things happened on this very planet of ours. And now this is the last trumpet being sounded. Let's get that quite clear into our minds. It's the sounding of the last trumpet. And there followed on after that, it says in verse 18 of chapter 11, "And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets," and so on. You see, at the sounding of the last trumpet, there was great excitement in heaven. And then all these items are placed down, but the details of these items are not given. Going to take chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18 to underline all the details. And this is the very first one that we're at this evening. It's the desolation of Israel, I've called this chapter. And I shall take great time to enlighten you as to why I was so bold as to call this chapter the desolation of Israel. So we're at chapter 12, and there are great details. Verse 1. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." I want you to look carefully at the word wonder. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven." If you have a good marginal reference Bible, there should be a little number at the word wonder, and if you go to the margin, you'll find that the word wonder means sign. I think it might have been better if our translators had put it in the text rather than in the margin. "And there appeared a great sign in heaven." You see, there are many folks in heaven at that time. We have been through this in chapter 5 and then again in chapter 7 and so on. And there's a sign given to all these people in heaven. But I want you to get this very straight and careful this evening, that while the sign is for the people in heaven, the woman is on earth. A woman is not in heaven, and don't be reading it into it either. The woman is on earth. Just to make you sure of that, look at verse 6 of our chapter this evening. And the woman fled into the wilderness. And I'm sure you would be honest enough to say there is no wilderness in heaven. Because some strange character came to argue with me once and said, this woman is in heaven. And the moment I said she fled into the wilderness, I said, I would like you to instruct me now where this wilderness in heaven is. Of course, Jimmy was only wakening up now. You can see that the woman is on earth, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there. Now watch the time factor, because that's most important this evening. 8,260 days. You know, when the time factor is there, she must be on earth. So the word wilderness and the 1,260 days will, I'm sure, persuade you that she's on earth. We think it should persuade you that she's on earth at a particular period. Because 1,260 days are 3.5 years. 42 months. That's the period we're thinking about. So that the woman is on earth. And if that doesn't persuade you, let me take you down to verse 13. Our chapter. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, and he will be, mind you, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So I don't think that we're going to have any more problems. The sign is given to those in the heavenlies in heaven, and the woman herself, she's on earth. And what we must underline before we go any further, she's on earth at a particular period. During these 42 months, or this 1,260 days, that this class ought to remember quite easily, and I'm sure you do, what we read in chapter 11. Let's go back to chapter 11. Let's read it over again now. Verse 1. And there was given me, that was, given John a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God. This is the time when the temple of God will be rebuilt, of course. And the altar, and them that worship therein, and the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's the same period now. Well, if you're not sure, we'll read the next verse. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 8,260 days. That's the same period now. Is that what we have in chapter 12? So that this woman is on earth during this particular period when God's two super witnesses are on earth. When the Jewish temple is built again, have you got that? Because you'll need to get all those facts in if you're going to argue with me. Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? And it's more interesting when we go on to chapter 13. Because we don't only go back to chapter 11, let's go on to chapter 13. And watch this very carefully. This is this horrible beast that we'll have to deal with in the not too far distant future, and we shall take time to do that. It says in verse 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Is that the same period? So, because before we start any arguments at all, you've got to be sure that this woman is on earth. She's in the wilderness. She's being persecuted by the devil. But the most important bit is that she's on earth and being persecuted at a particular period of earth's history. Make no mistakes about that. In the 3.5 years, in the 42 months, or the 1,260 days, and that's taking a prophetic year as 360 days, as I understand it should be taken. So I think that you can see that she's on earth, and I think you can see that she's on earth at a particular period. Let's go back to the book of Daniel just for a moment. Daniel chapter 7. Just want to establish this very clearly just now. You remember this chapter when we went through it bit by bit? It's the chapter where Daniel saw four great beasts coming up out of the sea. Chapter 7, verse 3. Four great beasts. And we don't need to take the time to go all over it again. But Daniel was interested in the fourth beast. Do you see verse 19? "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast." He was most interested to know this. And then someone came to tell him, verse 23, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth." And it's a kingdom down here, all right. "Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise." And I think that we're beginning to see the horns appearing just now, and Mr. Heath is doing a great lot about it. And it says, "And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sense of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and the dividing of time." And I understand from the Hebrew that the time means a year, and the times mean 2 more, and the dividing of the time is the half, and it means 3.5. It means 42 months. So you see that this woman, and we're going to think about very carefully this evening. She's on earth. And she's being chased into the wilderness. And she's being persecuted by the devil. And she's here at the time when the two super witnesses are here. And she's here at the time when the beast is here. And she's here at the time when these 10 toes are here and this king arises out of the midst of them. So I think we've got that tidied up, unless you want to argue with me. Have a look at Daniel chapter 9 while we're there. Daniel chapter 9. And of course I think this is the greatest prophecy of all prophecies. Just to save time as much as possible, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and he's talking to Daniel, to Daniel's people, and upon thy holy city. I don't think you've any problem with that, except the 70 weeks. Because the word weeks there is an old Hebrew word that means sevens. You know that a week is made up of 7 days. Well, what this should have said more clearly in English was that 77s are determined upon thy people. And if you multiply 70 by 70, you have 490. And now you've got to find out from the passage 490 what? And we find it's 490 years. And if you measure back from the commandment going forth to the building of the temple and the building of the city, to the day that Christ entered into it, 69 sevens had gone. And had just left 1 7 to go, just 1 week to go. Of course, God called out a people after that for his name, the Church of Jesus Christ, from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And one of these days the Lord Jesus will come to the air and take his waiting people home. The church will rise to meet him. All they that are Christ's at his coming. And of course, you'll find this out. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now the Jews ought to have been able to count the years to the cutting off the Messiah, only they couldn't believe he would be cut off. They couldn't understand the sufferings of their Christ. They only saw the glory that was to follow. Shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, the people, the Romans. Because the prince that should come after Christ was cut off was Titus. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, this prince that shall come from this revived Roman Empire, these 10 toes, if you like, this common market, if you like, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What's the half of 7 now? 3.5. 42 months it is. I don't want to go into this prophecy. It'll waste my time. What I want to say to you, we're going to look at a woman this evening in the chapter. While the sign is in heaven, the woman is on earth. She's being pushed into the wilderness. She's being persecuted by the devil. She appears on this earth in this persecution at the time when the two witnesses are here, when the beast is here, when this revived Roman Empire has appeared, when this man of sin is here, in the very time when he breaks the covenant with Israel. Surely all these things are too clear to get you mixed up. 42, 3.5, 1,260. So I think you can see that the woman is on earth, and I think you can see the period in which she will appear. Let's go back to the chapter now. We're back at chapter 11, chapter 12. Now, have we established that she's on earth and being persecuted and running into the wilderness at this particular period that we have so many details of in so many parts of this book? Now, we've got to decide now, who is this woman? What's God talking about? Yes, we've got to decide that. Now, there are five outstanding women in the scriptures. Five. Of course, there are many great women in the scriptures. I have given Bible readings on the seven Marys of the New Testament, and they're all great. Last year at the convention, I gave this Bible reading on the seven Marys of the New Testament. And I don't think I had ever so many letters in my life about the blessing that this was. And there are many women in the scriptures. But there are five outstanding ones. Well, of course, Eve was an outstanding woman. She's the mother of us all. You know, I know that some of the modernists, they don't believe the Genesis story. They don't believe there ever was an Eve. They think it's a sort of Eastern mystic fable of some kind. In fact, I heard about one of the high schools teaching this. Now, let me turn you to the New Testament just for a moment, to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, and you young folks, pay attention. And if they will do this in your school, will you please stand up and read this to them, and don't argue with them, just read it and leave it with them. I heard about a master in one of the high schools who's a modernist, and he comes off with some of this nonsense sometime, and some of the boys and girls that are here tonight just stand up, you know, and say, like to say this. And he said the other day, "Now you sit down, you go to the Bible class," and he has you inoculated. Yeah, I have them inoculated with the truth. And if he's afraid of that, it's a pity of him. Well, don't you take any nonsense with him. Watch what it says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writing, and remember the book's inspired. "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy." What a lovely thing to say about the flock. "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Did Paul believe that? I can tell you he believed that. He believed there was the Garden of Eden. He believed the serpent came. He believed the subtlety was there. He believed Eve was there. Some of these boys coming up seem to think they know better than this inspired book. I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, let's make no mistakes about it. Eve was there, all right. Yes, and she was created for the man, this book says. And did I underline the word created for you? She wasn't evolved. Oh, no. She was created for the man, the book says. It is not evolution, that is creation. And in that day, this book says, God created them male and female. Oh, yes, he did, you know, he's the faithful creator. But Eve is one of the great characters of this book, isn't she? Then I think we've got to get this into, that Israel, the nation of Israel, is pictured as the woman in this book. As the wife of Jehovah. What an honor she had. Let's go back to Isaiah 54, please. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 54. And God's writing to the Jewish nation through this Jewish prophet Isaiah. And here's what he said to them in verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. Isaiah 54 verse 5. Thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. And a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. I know that some of the old expositors, the old Puritans even, they tried to read the church into that. You're not trying to come round to tell me that God will forsake the church, are you? Because I hope you're not. Because I'll tell you what the Lord says to every believer in this place, and he said it on the day you were saved. He just stepped into the road in front of you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. And there's no talk at all about gathering the church. It'll never be scattered, man. It's a body. Oh, no, this is Israel. This is Israel, the nation, as the wife of Jehovah. And this is the great woman that's in the scriptures. You know, the Virgin Mary is a great woman. Let's get the hold of that now. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, just for a moment. Verse 26. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. And that's a very special word that's there, you know, in the Greek. And that version of Luke's gospel that they're giving out through around the doors is baloney, you know. Of course, I think some of you don't even know that. Because if you take it and look at it just there, it will say, to a girl. And they took away the word virgin and put girl, and who gave them the authority to do that now? I don't think that they have the authority to do that. I think it's a perverted version that they're giving us. Why didn't they do it right when they were doing it? I wonder what the Bible Society's playing at. They're not allowed to do this with God's Word. He has exalted it above His name. You want to throw it in the fire. If you want to give out a decent one, get one and give it up. This woman is a virgin. I wonder that the Roman Catholic Church gives it that. I think they're so dopey they don't even know what's in it. Because I think if they knew, they wouldn't stand for it. Now, have a look at this. To us, a virgin, not to a girl, to a virgin is the inspired word. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And you're quite correct when you call her the blessed virgin Mary. You have no troubles with that at all. Of course, I think you've got to always remember this, that she was blessed among women, not above women. That's what the pagan church has done. She's just blessed among women. But she was really blessed. She's a very special character, you know, and we need to not let anybody play around with this word virgin. Because this virgin birth is one of the fundamentals of the faith. Don't ever let anybody touch it, you know. Some of the boys say to me, you know, you can do away with a virgin birth and go to heaven, can you now? Not a bit of you. You'll go to hell. I don't think they know what they're saying sometimes. If this child, the Lord Jesus, was not virgin born, do you know what you're saying? You're saying that Mary played about in the dark with some man and she had a child too. Well, I'll tell you what you're making the child. You're making the child a bastard. Oh, it's a word that arouses you a bit, doesn't it? Well, if a girl has a baby and we don't know the father, the child's a bastard according to the English language. I hope you're not calling Christ a bastard. Well, if you do this, then you're calling Mary a bad woman. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, where did the child come from? If you're playing about in the dark with a German, like Super says, what would he know about it? I'd be amazed at a man standing 2,000 years away from the thing. He knows the shape and size of the German. God pity us, why do we put up with it? If Mary was playing about with somebody, she was a bad woman. I'll tell you this. If the child's a bastard and Mary's a bad woman, this book is a farce. This book is not true. We might as well go home and burn it. And I'll tell you this. If Mary is a bad woman and Christ is a bastard and the book is a liar, then the cross is nonsense. If Jesus Christ is the sinful son of a sinful woman by a sinful father, he can't be your savior, can he? You're stuck where they preach this, are you? It's time you were out with. But all we're waiting too long, because we haven't too long to wait. Get out! And stay out. Yes. I'll tell you this, that Mary, yes, she's a very important woman. She was chosen of God to be the mother of the Messiah. What a joy. So Eve was an important woman. And Israel, as the wife of Jehovah, was an important woman. And Mary's an important woman. And let me say this, that the Church of Jesus Christ is an important woman too. She's the bride of Christ. Let's go to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 5. Great portion here. All leads up to the truth. Verse 22, Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Are you listening? As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You see, he's viewing the church here as the bride of Christ. He says in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. And there's going to be a marriage supper one day, and we'll come to it in the book of Revelation, and you'll see the details. Have you got these? Are they on your fingers? Because I'm going to put them there. There's Eve, you know. And there's Israel, the wife of Jehovah. And there's the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's the church, the bride of Christ. Now, there's another woman very important. And it's Revelation 17. And we'll have to have a night or two at that when we come to it. But I want to show you this now for a very important reason. Revelation 17. Verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore. That's not a very nice name, is it? Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the full of names of blasphemy having seven heads and ten horns refers to the beast, of course. Of course, when we look at this great figure, this man of sin that's coming, we shall see that this is him. But notice that the woman is riding the beast here. Saw a woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast. Verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written. This is her name. It's in big letters. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Abominations of the earth. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. I'm sure, I'm perfectly sure that this is the Roman Church. I will have no troubles at all in proving it, but I'll take my time to do it for you when we come to it. Yes, if you look back down through history and see the Inquisition at work, you'll know who was drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, here are five outstanding women, the outstanding women of the Scriptures. There's Eve, there's Israel, there's Mary, there's the church, there's this great whore, this scarlet woman, as I call her. Now, let's go back to our chapter again. We've scarcely started yet. In fact, we're not really started. Out for the night, are you? Well, now, we see that there is a woman on earth in the wilderness here in that particular period of the 42 months when the beast is here, when the two witnesses are here. Now, who is this woman? Now, I lifted one of the commentaries the other day, and they said it was Eve. Wouldn't that make you laugh? Do they really think that they're going to bring Eve back to that particular period? Do they? I don't think it deserves to be even talked about. One of them said that this is the Virgin Mary, and this is all her troubles. This is the troubles that she had in life. Well, we're going to examine this in a moment. You'll find that this woman is clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And do you ever remember the Virgin Mary being clothed with the sun at any time? You know, I'll tell you this, that when Christ hung on the cross, and there was standing by the cross three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the wife of Cleopas. You know, as our Lord hung in agony, what a wonderful person he was. He looked down at her and he could see her, you know. She must have been aged now. After all, he's 33 and a half. And I think Joseph is dead. And you know, over a little bit he saw John standing, the apostle. And he just lifted his languid eyes and he looked at John. And he said, Son, behold thy mother. He couldn't move his hand. He just said, Son, behold thy mother. And he looked at her and he said, Mother, behold thy son. And the scripture says, John took her home from that moment forward. I'd like all the Roman Catholics to note that. That John looked after Mary. Mary didn't look after John, you know. Did you get the hold of that? He took her home and looked after her. She hadn't anything. She was just a poor Galilean. But she was blessed of God. She was the mother of the Messiah. She'll not be coming back into that period. Oh, not at all. You know, friends, in this book, as we've been going through it, we have noticed that the church is already at home in heaven in chapter 5, singing, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So they'll not be there. They'll be home by that time. Eve won't be there, and Mary won't be there, and the church won't be there. There's only two left. And they'll both be there. Oh, Israel will be there. And the scarlet woman will be there, but she'll not be getting chased. She'll be on the back of the chaser, won't she? You've only one left. That's why I call the chapter The Desolation of Israel. Oh, there's a lot of things to tidy up in the chapter, isn't there? Yes, this is Israel. Now, as you look at this chapter, you have to see it like this. You know, God is telling us here what the nation will be like when he hath finished with it. Oh, you know, he's going to put Israel into the melting pot. And he's going to squeeze all the unbelief out of them. And he's going to bring a remnant right through this tribulation period. And he's going to bring them into the great millennial reign. As this redeemed, ransomed people. You know, in that day, this phrase can be said, they'll be clothed with the sun. Let's go back to the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi, and we're at the very last chapter. Chapter 4 it is. Malachi, chapter 4. Now listen carefully to what's said. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch." That terrible day that we've been thinking about in chapter 8, when these trumpets were being blown, when this fury of the fire came. Verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name." And remember, he's writing to Israel. "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is presented in this book under two heavenly figures. He's the bright and morning star, and the Son of Righteousness. Because those of you who know about the stars, you know that just before the morning really breaks, that the bright and morning star is seen. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus is coming for the church as the bright and morning star. This is our blessed hope. And of course, this period of tribulation will run on this earth, and this nation is going to be put into the melting pot. Ah, but the Lord will come as the Son of Righteousness for Israel. Yes. And this remnant will go into this millennial kingdom clothed with the sun. Have a look again at what it said back at chapter 12 in Revelation. And there appeared a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. You know about the moon, don't you? Well, you know the moon was given to rule the night. Has to do with the darkness of the night. There will come a day when the Lord Jesus will take this nation of Israel and clothe her properly. And every conceivable form of darkness will be put under her feet. And I'll tell you that in that day, she'll not only be clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, but upon her head a crown of 12 stars. There'll be no lost tribes, you know. We'll all be there, and they'll not be British Israelites either. Yes, this is the picture of her when God has finished with her. This is why all heaven gets excited when they see this. But God not only tells us here what she will be like when he has finished the job. God tells us and reminds us what he has done through this nation. Let's never forget it was through this woman, through this nation, that our Savior came to this world. Don't let's forget that. Now, let's see it now. We're at chapter 12. We're into verse 2 now. And she, being with child, cried, and travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another sign in heaven. Don't let's go on with this sign too much for a moment. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, the angels went after him. And did cast them to the earth. And the dragon, this is the bit we want to get just now, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know, down through all the years from God said in the Garden of Eden to the devil, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And I know a lot of them thought it was between the devil and Eve, and a lot of them think it's between the devil and Mary. Just go through the life of Eve and find where the enmity was, and go through the life of Mary and find it too. The Lord was talking about Israel. Because this was the woman that he would bring the seed through. Ah, this is... You go through the history of Israel till you see the enmity. May the Lord try to devour the seed in every age, right down through. He tried, the devil tried to destroy the seed. All the devouring was always there. And on that day when Jesus Christ was born, he made one great attempt. Why the child had to go down to Egypt. And then they killed all the children from 2 years old and under. It was the devil. He was trying to devour. But what God wants us to see just at this moment, don't bother too much about the dragon just now. Let's see the woman, how she will be when God has finished with her. Let's see the woman, what God hath done through her. You know, this man child came through her. See verse 5. She brought forth a man child. No troubles with the sex there, is there? Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. If you can't see Christ, you must be terribly blind. Ah, now you must be sure it's Israel. This woman is Israel. This is the woman that brought forth the man child. The man child that was to rule the nations and will rule the nations with a rod of iron too. He's only talking about Israel and what he's done through her. He's not talking about the church or Calvary just now. And look, you can see this. She brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Isn't that correct? Ah, yes, he was born as regards the flesh of Israel. Yes, he ascended to high. He's on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And he'll come back to rule the nations. Let's never forget that God used this nation. And he used them right down through all the ages. And he preserved that royal line until Christ was born. And we can see the genealogy going back to Adam. Yes, God used her. But God in this chapter is not only telling us what she will be like when he has finished the job with the nation. And he's not only telling us what he hath done through this nation for this world. But he's going to tell us what this nation will have to suffer in the not too far distant future. That's what he's telling. Let's have a look at some of these things. You see verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God. You know, God will save a remnant of this people. You know, no matter what happens down in this old planet of ours, there's always a hiding place for those who are the children of God. Way back in Noah's day. And you can see it, and that's what I'm preaching on Sunday night, finding this hiding place right through. And there'll be a place for the nation of Israel, when the whole world will gather against her, and it will be the devil that will be energizing. And she'll be in that place where God will save the remnant for 3.5 years. Should feed her there for 1,200 threescore days. I don't let's bother again about Michael here for a moment. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And mind you, I think you should underline the word war there, because I get into trouble for this sometimes. Mind you, Michael the archangel goes to war here. Sometimes you know that you have to go to war against evil. I come from a large family, you know. There were 16 boys of us. My father was killed at the First World War, and a great many of my brothers went to the war, and some of them were terribly wounded and all the rest of it. And if some nation should come against this province and declare war, I will go to war. Yes! I haven't anything to hide there. I'll fight any day they come. We had no quibbles, you know, when Hitler was coming. My, if our gallant men hadn't gone, you wouldn't be in this building tonight. We had to fight Hitler. You know what some of you are so holy about. Oh, I'll tell you this, Michael the Archangel is more holy than you'll ever be. And he went to war. Yes. That's true. But I don't want to get into this with Michael just now. I can see the time is going to beat me. We'll go back to deal with the devil. We'll go back to deal with Michael. Just want you to notice who this dragon is here. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. Seems the Holy Ghost has put all the words in so that you'll not trip over it. The dragon, the serpent, the devil and Satan. If you can't get it, then I can't help you. You're too dumb. Yes. Now I want you to get this. He, the devil, was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I know that he goes about these days as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I know he has his headquarters in the heavenlies. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. It's where he has his parliament just now. Was the day not far distant when the Lord's going to shift him out of there? And he'll come to the earth. Demons and the angels, the whole army, and the whole parliament. The church shall not be here. But when he comes to earth with all his forces, Israel is going to be the target. Think you've got that. Because that's what God's trying to say to us. You know, it says in verse 10, the moment that this sort of sign came to heaven, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. These are the people in heaven, you know. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now that's tremendous, because it matters not what dispensation you take. Now you can take the dispensation of grace if you like, or you can take the tribulation, or you can take the dispensation of law. I'll tell you, we think there was only one way of ever overcoming the devil in this world from the beginning. And the first thing is the blood of the Lamb. You know, the sooner we get it into our hides and into our bones that nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The sooner you get that into your hide, the better. Because it's only the blood of the Lamb that will take us out of Egypt. It was the blood on the door, wasn't it? You get redeemed by blood. And even when you're in the wilderness and you're the people of God, you know, it's only the blood of the Lamb that can take you on with God. It may take you out of Egypt, but only the blood takes you on. You know, we wouldn't be in fellowship with God tonight at all, only for the blood of Jesus. There's so many things go on inside you. Only the blood. You don't know how much you're depending on the blood. That's your trouble. And it's the blood that takes you out, and it's the blood that takes you on. And let me tell you this, it's the blood that will take you in. We're dependent
every moment and every step to the glory land on the blood of Jesus. Now watch this very carefully. The blood of the Lamb. You see that phrase, the word of their testimony. I don't know how many conventions I've been to and I hear men talking about the word of their testimony. And they seem to think it's given your testimony. Oh, blathers. Friend, I want you to see this. It's the same, that word there, the word, it's a Greek word, and it means the sayings. You know, we were at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. On Sunday morning I was preaching on the sword of the Spirit, which is the saying of God, not the book, the saying. A special saying out of the book is the sword of the Spirit. Now, what we're doing here is, how are we going to get through this warfare? By the blood of the Lamb, by the sayings of the testimony, by the sayings of the book. Look, if you've got it in one word, what you need is the blood and the book. You got that now? Because you're not getting through without that. You need the blood, and you just despise the book and make little of it till you see who'll get the hold of you. The devil. You'll need to obey the book, dear, and there'll need to be no nonsense out of you about the book. And that's why I stand up against these supposed to be translations that subtly tear the book apart. What do you think brings these people to this place? On my face, anyway. Oh, I know I'm good with this. Helena said to me tonight, I say, you're looking lovely. You know, all room and tick, as Jim Irvin says. She was looking at me and blinking. I think she's taken the notion of me again. Her and I were fell out for a week or two, you know. I rattle it into her now and again. But she was all pleased tonight. She's a lovely tie or no. Listen, friends. Apart from the little bit of fun, and Helena and I can have this without any bother. Let me say this. The only thing that attracts people here is the Word of God. That's all. Two old-fashioned hymns, and it's the Word of God. And this is how we'll beat the devil, you know. We'll beat the devil by the blood and by the book. We're to get this bit over to you. We must get this bit done. You say they overcame him, they overcame the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You see, it'll take blood and book and bravery. Hey, you need to take a stand for God. Some of us have got no guts for nothing. Need to be brave, you know. You need to stand up for Jesus, not fiddle about it at it like an old woman. The Lord's looking for soldiers, you know. Warriors. Yes, this is how you'll defeat the devil all the time. By the blood of the Lamb. By the book. By taking your stand for God and for Christ, no matter where you are. I think we'll save the rest of the chapter and we'll do the rest of it next week. We'll have a look at the devil and have a look at Michael and the things that are going to happen to Israel.